Please open your Bibles with me, if you will, to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation, as we will read from Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Hear God's holy and inspired word. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. So far, the reading of God's holy word. The message of this hour has as its text verse 12, where the voices are saying, and that with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." So far then, the reading of God's holy word. We will now confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. And let us say in our hearts, "I believe in God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In response to the message, let us sing from Psalter number 45, the stanzas 1 and 2 of Psalter number 45, 1 and 2. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, did you know that praise is our holy duty? We've actually just sang it a moment ago. Praise is our holy duty. Let me do my best to stir up that holy duty amongst us this afternoon hour with the Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's Supper Sunday is a good Sunday to do that, you see, especially in post-communion. I read a great Bible text to you that should stimulate each one of us to such holy duty of praise. We read, as we have done already, from Revelation 5 and verse 12, how the angels in heaven are busy praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So let us consider these particular words then this hour by the following theme and division: the angels' praise of the worthiness of Christ as the Lamb that was slain. First of all, praise for what He is. Secondly, praise for what He accomplished. And then thirdly, praise for what He has received. Now, congregation, the Apostle John was allowed to look into heaven to see what was going on there in heaven, actually. And so, in his vision of heaven, John sees God on the throne, and he has this vision of spirits and of angels and of elders, even of some animals as well, around the throne of God. But, and this is significant for us today, near the throne of God, John sees Jesus Christ. He is the one, therefore, requiring our attention again. He could even say, "Behold Jesus Christ," this afternoon. Now, what is it that John sees here of Jesus Christ up there in heaven? You can read of this already in verse 6 of our text chapter, because John sees Christ as a lamb as though it had been slain. Now, this is an unusual thing that John sees there. He sees a lamb. Not a dead lamb, but a living lamb. A lamb with all the markings of once having been slain. We'll get to that in a few moments, but first we will see something else. At this point, what does John get to hear about Jesus Christ? That's important at this moment. It is this. And it is obviously very, very important because it is actually said with a very loud voice. It is overwhelmingly emphatic. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. The angels, you see, they are busy praising the worthiness of Christ as the Lamb who was slain. Now, this morning, you heard something about why Jesus Christ is likened like a lamb, even as John the Baptist proclaimed it already, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We learn then that Jesus Christ is likened to a lamb because God made a lamb central to sacrificing and to sin offerings. A Passover lamb would no doubt be, therefore, the best example and the best prophetic foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and what he would have to do. Jesus Christ, as you learned, is likened to a lamb. Also because of his many lamb-like characteristics, such as meekness and mildness and patience in suffering, silence under pain, totally and quietly submissive, as as being put to death. And again, this is something that you heard this morning. These are then the lamb-like characteristics of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and then in their perfect exposure. Well, dear people, this is how your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is known. This is how he is described. This is how he is praised in heaven at this very moment, even as the Lamb of God. And here is this Lamb then, as he was slain. Of course, as you know, this is all language that is full of spiritual meaning, isn't it? It describes Jesus Christ as he has actually endeared himself to all who love him as the Lamb who was slain. And he's making his markings there also in that way. Well, now, what is meant then with the words "who was slain"? Why are these words included in this song of praise? Well, it means that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is a marked Savior, marked as one who once was like a lamb to be slain as a sacrifice. The Savior, therefore, has these markings on him of a great sacrifice. And those marks, they seem to tell me, will always be with him as well, because the angels sing of it afterwards. These are the marks of his sacrifice, you see, which he received on that notable day, which we commonly call Good Friday. As you will remember, a crown of thorns was then pressed on his forehead, and it gave him a marked brow. A scourge was whipped across his back, lashing and bruising him, and gave him a marked back. Nails were struck through his hands and through his feet, fastening him onto a rough wooden cross, and it gave him marked hands and marked feet. A soldier's spear was thrust under his heart, opening a gush of blood and water, and it gave him a marked side. And so Jesus Christ is now marked as one who has been slain. Now, from what we can gather from our text passage here, we must assume that at least some, if not all, those marks will remain with him. They will mark him forever as the Lamb who was slain. And according to what John hears then, this then is the subject of the new song that the inhabitants are singing in heaven, as you can read of that in verse 9 of our text passage. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy, for you were slain." Now, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is, dear people. Up in heaven right now, he is there as the Lamb who was slain. And this makes him worthy to be the subject of a great and a new song. It makes him the object of all the praise that heaven could possibly muster. Now, something of the marks of him having been slain could also be seen by us even today. They could be seen in the bread and in the wine of the Lord's Supper. After all, as you know, the broken bread and the poured wine are present signs and symbols of a broken body and of shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. As such, therefore, these visible signs and symbols are enough reason for us, you and me already, to praise Christ, that we too can say, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And so I ask you, personal question, but I ask you, has your attendance to the Lord's Supper today and your partaking of the bread and of the wine stimulated you already to praise your great and wonderful Savior. If the angels up in heaven are singing the praises of Christ the Lamb who was slain, although they have no personal experience of salvation at all, should you not, having that personal knowledge and understanding of salvation and personal experience of salvation, should you not be more even in the spirit of praising the Lamb who was slain? Therefore, let what you have heard and what you have seen so far, dear people, be enough stimulation to praise the Lord Jesus Christ for what he is, the Lamb who was slain. But now, let me move on to my second point. The angels' praise of the worthiness of Christ for what he accomplished. For what he accomplished. What has Jesus Christ accomplished as a Lamb who was slain? Well, first of all, why was Jesus Christ slain? You can read of this already in verse 9. Jesus Christ has redeemed his people by his blood, so we are told there. And this is why those marks are on him and why they are so noteworthy and so praiseworthy, you see. They are powerful evidences, of course, of what the Savior has accomplished, but not only just accomplished, but has accomplished for us, for you and for me. He has redeemed us, you see. He has purchased us. He has bought us as his own possession, and that with the very price of his precious blood. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as communicant people, having been at the table of the Lord today, we may rejoice then also with the angels up in heaven presently that we are a blood-bought people, that we are a redeemed people. You see, this is one of the things that the Word of God wants us to be clear on during this post-communion time. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called Christians, aren't we? Why? Because we are bought by the blood of the Lamb of God. We are therefore urged to be grateful. To be grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ. To be ready to sing that new song along with the angels that John saw in this vision here. We are urged to praise his worthiness for what he has accomplished with his blood and with his sacrifice. As a marked lamb, he stimulates us by the very marks to lift up your and my voice and join the angels in this praise. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Oh, there are many other things that we can say about Jesus Christ that we can rejoice in, that we can sing about. And no doubt, you've also had those times when you can say, as it were, even sing songs in the night of who the Lord Jesus Christ is to you. And there are people, I wish that I had the tongue of a gifted speaker to make the worthiness of our Savior more obvious. There should be nothing more wonderful. There should be nothing more precious to each one of us, dear fellow believers, than to be able to say and be able to sing it. He sacrificed himself for me. He spent his blood for me. Those marks that are to be seen on this lamb, as he was slain, those marks, they are still visible. There is the proof that he has redeemed me. There's the evidence that he has purchased me from the slave market of sin. The evidence that he has set me free in order to put me right with God the Father. All for the price of his precious blood. I ask you, is this not enough to praise him for already? Today, you and I had the opportunity to be at the table of the Lord. And we could focus on him, and we could consider him and remember him as the Lamb of God. And again, what a fitting description this is of him, isn't it? With Abram and with Isaac, we too can rejoice because God has provided for himself a lamb for the burnt offering that is his very own beloved son. Through him and by faith in him, you see, I am redeemed. You are redeemed, my fellow believers. And someday, you and I, we may join that immense choir up in heaven and sing with rapturous voices and praise that new song, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." Dear brother and sister in the Lord, is this also your personal feelings of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you feel praise bubbling up within you for what he has accomplished for you? With our Heidelberg Catechism, we can confess it, can't we? That I'm not my own, but with body and soul I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins. All my sins. Imagine. As believers, we may therefore confess and this and say so. In fact, we may even do so in praise to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me ask each and every one of us who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, can you now say with some measure of conviction that you are a believer in this Lamb of God, Jesus Christ? What is it about him that makes him so dear to you? What is it about him that makes him so precious to you? Will you answer that for yourself? What is it about him that has drawn you to him? What is it that has brought you together, dear brother or sister? Is it not his love for sinners like you and me? And is it not his lamb-like sacrifice? He has made that sacrifice in demonstration, you see, of his love for sinners like you and me. If so, if that has moved you at all, does it not give you even more reason to join in with the angels and sing that song of praise, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain"? From our text, we may draw the conclusion that he now is and always will be like a lamb that was slain. In other words, the marks of his sacrifice are permanent. And I believe Brother Pennings mentioned this last Sunday, but that is so much in contrast with the believers, because all the marks of sin will be removed. There will be nothing that symbolizes sin in any of us. And here is this dear Savior, marked in order to give evidence that we may be unmarked. A reason for praise is therefore what Jesus Christ has accomplished. I now come to my third thought. We've heard about the angel's praise of the worthiness of Christ, one for what he is, two for what he has accomplished, and now three, for what he has received. We read in our text the angel singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now that's a mouthful, isn't it? Dear people, Jesus Christ is in heaven presently, and he is there as the Lamb who was slain. He is marked and everything. But don't ever suppose that he, marked as slain, as a slain lamb, is presently still poor and helpless like a lamb on earth would be poor and helpless. Certainly, Jesus Christ is no poor and helpless Savior, although he is still called the Lamb. But have you caught it when we read it? Just prior to that, he was called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And here we bring those two together. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Strong and powerful, bold, and everything that would stir up fear in the hearts of unbelievers. Here's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and there's the Lamb at the same time, and they become one. Isn't that beautiful? That shows that this Lamb who was slain is the strong one. He is the strong one. He is not helpless. Jesus Christ is therefore rich, and he is a powerful Savior. Some of our older members will remember that our forefathers used to speak about a rich Christ for poor sinners. Well, that's what he is, a rich Christ for poor sinners. Well, this is also part of the praiseworthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And this is also part of the new song that the angels are singing presently in heaven as well. Because of his lamb-like sacrifice, Jesus Christ has received power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And again, that's a mouthful. That's quite a list, isn't it? And why would the Lord Jesus Christ have received all of these things? Why? Did he not have all of those things in possession already prior to his sacrifice? Was he not then already, as the Son of God, eternally in possession of all of these excellencies? Yes, true enough. But I believe that the angels have just a little better insight into this than we do. And they have observed that after Jesus Christ was slain as a lamb, and after he has made this great sacrifice, he received these wonderful things such as power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings in order to share them with us, you and me, with his people. Because the term receiving has that meaning in it. Proof? Well, it's the same as what is said in Psalm 68, verse 18, how that the ascended Christ has received gifts for men, which the Apostle Paul then interprets in Ephesians 4 and verse 8 as Christ receiving gifts to men and women, boys and girls. In other words, the angels are praising the Lamb that was slain for receiving in order to share with his people power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And so, my fellow believers, think of this. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, sacrificed himself and had himself slain so that he could share with you and with me the great benefits of his lamb-like sacrifice. He offered himself as the Lamb of God in order to enrich you and me with some wonderful and with some Christ-like benefits, as have been listed here. What he has received, you see, and what the angels sing about is what your and my Savior is willing to share with you and with me. And if you have placed your full trust, if you have entrusted yourself through faith in him, he, as your Lord and Savior, is most willing, in fact, is most eager to share with you what he has received. Perhaps through the celebration of the Lord's Supper, something of that was experienced already by you. Perhaps for some, this became, in a small part, already a reality, that he is giving you the strength, the power to go on from there, confessing him as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps attendance to the Lord's Supper has already set in motion what Jesus Christ is willing to share with you in abundance. And how good that is, and how good it is to hear that from you as well. He has already then begun to share with you some of the power to overcome indwelling sin. Some of the riches of Jesus Christ have already become yours so that you can, in turn, share those riches with others. Some of the wisdom of Jesus Christ has already come down to you so that you can more easily understand what his will is in your life and that you can share that wisdom with others. What a blessing it is when something of the strength of Jesus Christ has come to you, so that you know that you can stand strong in the faith and be ready to witness for Him wherever it might be, and whoever asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you. And He's willing to share honor and glory and blessing if you have received just a small measure of these things already. There's no doubt that the full measure will come in due time once we are with the Lord. It is reserved in heaven for us. You see, when you are in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be crowned with these very things, honor and glory and blessings. And a foretaste of these things, you see, can be had then already here in this life, even as you come away from the table of the Lord and enter into a new work week. You are part of the Lamb's people. You are part of the Lamb's entourage, if I may say it that way. And as such, you have received the honor already and the glories already and the blessings already, although the world might not see anything of it. You are written in the Lamb's book of life, or as it says in popular term, you are the children of the King. Now again, if the angels, who after all are only observers, that's what they are, observers. If the angels can praise Jesus Christ for this, how much more should you and I, who may share in what the Lamb has received and shared with us, how much more should we not praise the Lamb? And so I urge you, dear people, do not fail in praising the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb who was slain. Do not fail to tell Him how privileged you are to know Him personally. Make your praise of Him personal. You've heard about how the angels sang His praises by singing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." But you can do more. You can actually do more than the angels. You can actually sing more and sing something more than the angels. You can be more personal than the angels. You may actually be able to sing, "Worthy was the Lamb who was slain for me." Now, perhaps there are some here this afternoon hour who do not yet have a personal relation with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please hear me out for a moment. I ask you to consider this. If the angels are singing the praises of Jesus Christ, of who He is and of what He has done and what He has accomplished and what He has received, do you not think it worth it to investigate what this is all about? Angels are the most reliable witnesses of Jesus Christ, far more reliable than any person in this world. Don't you think that it's wise to consider what those angels have been saying and are singing presently? There's no scientist, there's no philosopher, there's no worldly wise man who can ever come as close to what the angels are witnessing and praising about. And therefore, you can trust what those angels are saying. You can trust what those angels are singing, that this is true. Well, let that convince you. And therefore, turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fall in love with His Lamb of God and find out for yourself what He is willing to share for you and with you. You will be more than surprised, and you will never regret it, ever. And one day, you will be prompted to praise Him as well. Well, may it be so for all of us who have heard this message. Amen. Return now to your homes and receive the blessings of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.